Praise the Lord, everyone. Hi, this is One of Messiah Congregation. I thank you for joining us this half hour. Praise the Lord. It's really nice to be here. Today is September 2nd, 2007. However, we try to bring to your memory, or maybe you don't remember, God has his own calendar. And we're still in the sixth month, the 19th day. So time is passing. The feasts of the Lord are coming. But anyway, I want to say shalom to everybody from One of Messiah. We come from a Hebrew-Jewish perspective, because the scriptures were written in Hebrew, and Jesus was Jewish, and the apostles were Jewish, and the prophets were Jewish.
And let me guess, when Paul and all the apostles found the Messiah, did they become Gentiles, or did the Gentiles have to join the Israel of God?
Right. Well, before we get into the topics, we have, that was my wife speaking, then Sister
Shalom.
Ann is here.
Shalom.
And we have our granddaughter,
Avery.
Avery.
You want to
say
shalom?
Hello to everyone?
Hello.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. Well, anyway, it was a heartfelt episode, you know, being at my last week at teaching at the Franklin Christian Church. I was there for 3 weeks, and just seeing all those young people, you know, I could see some of them are really eager. They would love to keep the Ten Commandments, love to know about the feast, love to know about the calendar. And, you know, of course, I'm just an hour for three weeks. You know, that's 3 hours that they heard something different that they're not used to hearing. But it was things right out of the Bible. I call it Bible 101. People don't know the basics.
Well, I think they were just blessed for having heard the truth once. And we hope it sticks with them, especially the saying, where does it say that in the Word?
Yes.
We hopefully got that into their mind, that when they hear something that they question, is this in the Bible or is it not? And I think also young people see a lot of hypocrisy in the church. And just to know that there's a truth means a lot. And hopefully they'll remember.
Amen. I think that you do see hypocrisy, but then you just count on that the pastor or the teacher, the youth pastor, everyone is telling you correctly. Without saying, where does it say that in the Word, you're never going to get a true understanding or a way of investigating it.
That's
you
right.
Have to get your own mindset on that.
One thing for sure, we do know that they now know who the new covenant was given to, what is a new covenant, where are the commandments in the Bible. They learn some things, I think, that will stick with them.
The basics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's what's going on in my mind to talk to people about. I know, you know, you talk to some ministers and rabbis, and they want to hit you with all this, like, intellectual garb, intellectual, exchanges. When, you know, prophecies and just things that, you know, that to impress people, when they don't even know the basics themselves. You know, I was asking today, I was so happy, some people actually knew where the Ten Commandments were in the Bible. That might sound like really elementary, but most people don't even know it.
Well, I think they also knew what sin was, didn't they?
Yes. That one young man in the front, he's right on, you know, he's right on.
Sin, you know, is a transgression of the law.
You know, if people would only do in 2 Corinthians what Paul said, chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. Prove your own selves. And I see people don't prove anything. That's the problem. I mean, Paul told the Thessalonians in chapter 5, verse 21, prove all things. And when I hear that, that means to me, from everyone that's talking to you.
Right, you're supposed to come as a child. Like Avery, and when somebody tells you something, you say, where does it say that in the Word?
Amen. You know, Paul told Timothy in chapter 2, verse 15, he said, to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. People do not study. I mean, some people don't even know about the simplest things in the Bible.
Raise your hand and say. So what should you say, Avery? What should you say when people ask you or tell you something that they say is in the Bible? What should you say? Should you say, where does it say that in the Word? Right?
Of course.
That's what we say.
Good work.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm just, in my heart is like yearning to be with young people because I see the eagerness. You know, I really been thinking about that scripture. You can't put wine into old bottles.
Yeah.
And these old bottles, I'm starting to believe a lot of it is these old older people that are just set in their ways. It's so hard to unlearn.
That's because their bottles are full of old doctrine, and that old doctrine they just can't let go of, and unlearning becomes a very difficult thing.
It seemed to be the case for the Pharisees. The older, you can imagine, they were very long taught in traditions of men and so on, and used it for their benefit. Even to this day, that's what I see. That's what it seems to be in the churches today. People think, oh, I've been in the church for 20 years, 40 years, 15 years, and so you can't tell them anything new, and it shouldn't have been new in the first place.
That's right, and especially down here, it's been generations of families in the same church, and no one stops and says, you know what? I was born into this, but is it right? The only way to find out if it is right is to actually sit down and read the Word, and you start finding out that, whoa, it doesn't say that.
Or, amen.
You know, it's, oh, man. You start getting some shock, and you go, and you get scared because you realize, I don't know my religion. I don't know the real religion. But then it's time to just start over again as a child and start reading.
And people, they really believe, I think, that if someone comes out of theology school, they really got all the answers. And, does that not match the Word? It doesn't match the Word.
You know, what we're talking about, too, also is matching what Word? Because a lot of churches nowadays are reading the satanic NIV, and I showed some verses today in the Bible that was very important. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, the NIV calls Lucifer the morning star. And the big problem with that, Revelations 22:16 calls Jesus the morning star. So is Jesus and the devil one? No. That is so satanic.
Well, it takes away the name Lucifer. His name is out of the Bible altogether.
There's no more Lucifer
in the NIV.
And they actually call him the name of the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus.
Very confusing.
I think that's very evil. You know, the word star is not even in the Hebrew text in Isaiah. There's no kohav is star. And people don't read Hebrew, but kohav is not there. So this is totally made up. It's fraudulent. And this is one of the discrepancies when we say, where does it say that in the Word? We want to make sure what Word, because we believe the King James Version in the English is the accurate version. And if you have anything besides that, you are reading from a corrupt version, a Catholic version, maybe from Westcott and Hort, the two satanic men from the 1800s, and they wrote their own Greek manuscript. And it's such a satanic thing. No, the problem I see is the ministers do not study to show themselves approved. They only memorized what they were taught at a seminary or divinity school. And some of them know that many things were inaccurate, but they went along with it so they can get their certificate or degree, and now they're preaching trash.
Well, the Bible is not a class. It's not something you learn in school. If you want to learn of the Bible, you ask who for understanding? God, right? You ask God, not go to a school where they tell you what something means.
Amen.
And then it's stuck in your mind forever, and it's the wrong answer.
Amen. You know, like I know my sister Anne and my wife here, I could ask them any simple little questions like, who is the new covenant given to?
Israel.
I mean, they just know it, 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is the new covenant?
The new covenant is in his blood. It's those same commandments. They're not written in stone anymore. They're written on your heart.
Yes.
You're supposed to know them.
And where's that written? Where's it say that in the Word?
It actually says in Jeremiah 31:31 and also
Hebrews 8:8.
Yeah, I mean, these are verses that, I mean, to us, they become like a part of us because most churches don't even know what the word church mean. I mean, the real meaning of that is ecclesia, people that are set apart, people that are separate. It's not a building, it's the people. Where was the first church?
Go ahead, Anne.
Mount Sinai.
That's
in
right.
The wilderness.
That's
the
what
wilderness.
It says. It says that, where does it say that? It says that in the book of Acts, chapter 7. It's the church in the wilderness, right?
That's right.
And what that means, it's the ecclesia, the people that were separate, the ones that were set apart to God in holiness. It's not a building. There was no buildings in the wilderness.
In fact, God said that he severed those people from all the people in the earth. And he didn't know any other families of the earth except for the people Israel.
That's right. See, a lot of people don't like the strong message of the Bible. I see people get offended at every little thing the Bible says. They want God to be some little Easter bunny God or a little petting lambs or, you know, something that God is not. You guys ever notice that?
Yeah, each person has their own assumption of how and when, even in their own lives, how God has been to them. And you can see that it's, a lot of times it doesn't match up to the Word. And you have to question that.
Of course you got to question it, because, you know, it says in chapter 59, we were reading it yesterday, of Isaiah, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." So if you're in sin and you've repented, you can pray all you want, but he's not going to hear you because you're really not one of his if you haven't repented, done teshuvah, and joined the Israel of God.
Amen. I mean, you know, let's put it this way. If you could be in sin and pray, that means then there's every single religion. Then that means they're all of God, which is ridiculous. I mean, even the ones that don't have Yeshua as the Messiah, that means any religion, which is, to me, ridiculous, not even logical, because there's only one God, the Bible says. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only one way to walk. There's one way to serve the Lord. There's not two laws or everyone does something different. The Bible is for everyone. And one day, whether people like it or not, they're still going to meet the Lord.
That's right. And you have one book to read.
You can't be exempt. I mean, a lot of people try to take the non-committal attitude and don't talk about any of these things. That's too bad. You're still going to meet the Lord.
I think a lot of people in their past have tried to read the Bible, and when things didn't match up and they couldn't understand it right away, it was like a give up. It was almost like giving up a little bit, you know. I just want to say, you know, pray to the Lord, you know, before reading the Word, and ask for understanding, because that's one thing you're going to absolutely need when you do. But it does say to come as a child.
Yes. That's why I love coming as a child. I don't want to come as Einstein. I just really want the truth. I want to know where it says it in the Word. You know, we are One of Messiah Congregation. You can always go to our website. That's oneinmessiah.net. You know, I just did the teaching at Franklin Christian School 3 weeks in a row on Sunday, Yom Rishon, and I would love to come to your church. I'd love to come to your house or wherever. Your congregation. I'd love to go over the basics with you and see how much people know, see how much people have read the Bible, and see how much information that they have. I know a lot of people, they just go to church on Sunday to show that they were there or what.
That's right, and you have to learn your Jewish Hebrew roots, because that is the foundation of your faith. And the new covenant was with the house of Israel, so you really need to learn that. And you have to read your whole Bible, because all of it together dovetails. If you only read the New Testament, you're not really going to understand it, because actually, if you want to know the truth, most of it is from what you call your Old Testament scriptures.
Exactly. You know, speaking of a truth, 12 days from now is the Zichron Yom Teruah, the blowing of trumpets, the memorial of blowing the trumpets. And these are holy days of God. But if you ask that to a Christian, they never even heard of that.
And this is God appointed to all his people to keep the Feast of Trumpets. And that's coming up.
Yeah,
so
I know.
We're excited.
And it's a Sabbath. Uh-oh. It's Friday. Friday's a Sabbath and also Saturday. So the Seventh-day Adventists don't even know about it.
Yeah, and it, those are commandments too. It doesn't matter.
I mean, these are not our opinion. These are verses in the Bible, correct?
Absolutely. And I was just going to mention, maybe that's one of your questions. Maybe you want to understand the Sabbath. I mean, I know that we use that word over and over. It's the seventh day. And it's an eye-awakening type situation for most. We could live our whole lives, I did, not knowing what the Sabbath was. The Sabbath is the fourth commandment. So it is a definite good question to ask.
How many commandments are there on Mount Sinai?
It was 10.
Ma'am, churches are not even doing 10. They do 9.
Well, they think they're not for them, but, you know, all these commandments are spoken of in the New Testament scriptures.
There's 10 commandments. Reading.
Even the Sabbath, it says it's a commandment, but they're blinded to that. They don't even see it. That's in Luke, what, 23:56?
Yes.
Yeah. Again, here, you know, many of us in our mind, we're interpreting what God meant for us to have. He appointed 10. you know, for us to know and understand. One wasn't just taken away out of the blue. I mean, that would not make any sense.
Actually, the Catholic Church, they take the credit for that, because they say it pompously that they had the authority and the power to change the fourth commandment. There is no more Sabbath. Now they put everything on the first day because Jesus rose on the first day. Look, Jesus raising on the first day is fantastic. We can't even say how wonderful that is. But it's not a commandment. It was an episode. God's commandment is Friday night to Saturday night sundown, no matter what anyone says.
Amen. It was
and
an
that
episode.
Started on the seventh day of the earth, right?
Wow.
Yes.
He sanctified it.
No, I mean, they don't look at the difference of the words. The Messiah, Jesus raising from the dead, of course, we love that because, you know, that's where we all got salvation.
Amen.
And, you know, but that's not a commandment. That was an episode, a fantastic event that took place. It's different than a commandment. Like today is Yom Rishon, Sunday. Today, you can worship the Lord today. Worship Him tomorrow, too. Worship Him every day. But make sure you keep the commandment on Friday night.
Because if you break the fourth commandment, that's sin also. And you know what? God said He made the Sabbath for man. And there's a reason, because if you don't spend one whole day with God every week, you'll think of a million things to do. And then you go to Sunday and go to your church and just get it over with and go and do other things on Sunday. But just think, if you have one from sunset Friday night to sunset Saturday night, and you learn of the Lord, you're going to learn quickly. Because you'll have that whole time for God.
And you would have completed a complete obedience to Him, His fourth commandment.
Didn't we meet a lady today that says she finally kept the Sabbath?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
That's because of us?
You know, I believe that...
We brought it home to her. Yeah. I believe that too. And we hope everyone that hears us would also take these bonds, as Apostle Paul puts it. Yes, the Word of God is something that... puts you on the straight and narrow. Yeah, makes you have to make a difference. You have to make a stand.
And that is scriptural, straight and narrow.
Well, I know. So many people just like to slop around, you know, just do anything, any kind of God. You know, just do your own thing, God.
Well,
what does it say
that
in the Word?
Whoever you think your God is.
Yeah,
well, there is a God of the Bible that's very distinct.
And if you're a pastor or rabbi is preaching heresy, do you need his permission to leave?
I don't think so. I'd walk out of there. You know what it is? People are afraid to make a stand for God. They want to be nice to people who are telling lies about their God, you know?
God says so many times in the Torah.
Instead of making the stand.
Making a stand for their God.
Yes, God says many times in the Torah, warn them from me. You know,
and if anyone teaches you another doctrine, you were to stone them immediately. It could have been family members.
Exactly.
So let alone, you know, if anyone's trying to lead you astray right now in the churches.
You know, Jesus even said, and this sounds kind of harsh, when the guy wanted to bury his father, let the dead bury their dead.
Amen.
I mean, follow me. You know,
that's why I'm happy our congregation. You know, we're not breaking any staggering numbers here. We're just a few, because there's not that many people that want to keep the commandments. Not that many people want to study the Bible. People just want to, like, play games and billiards, and they want to just do nothing that has any eternal significance. They just want to, basically, it's a waste of your time. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, I mean, you know, playing a little ball or something, but not making it a occupation and do something for God. The Bible says that we're going to be judged according to our works. But nobody, I don't think people really believe the Bible.
And your number one works that you need to do is, what does it say? The conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments.
Amen.
And then, of course, after that, tell others, warn others, be a watchman. You know, because all those souls out there are going to go somewhere. And if you don't talk to people and let them know the truth, you're partly responsible for them. For their souls.
Well, you know, I don't know. There's so much we could say. I wish I can go to a different church every Sunday and teach another group of young people. And, you know, because I see the look on their faces. They'd love to keep the commandments. They'd love. I know they would be keeping the feast of the Lord. I know.
They'd be soldiers in the army of the Lord, right?
Yeah, except for, you know, I'm just... It's just what we preach is, you know, they heard like a few hours, 3 hours out of their whole lifetime of something that was right out of the Bible, instead of going to their church and hearing a pep talk or a motivational speech or some, you know, I don't know what they call it, It's almost like what they teach you in exercising or something.
It's like, motivational.
Yeah. We want to preach the gospel, the good news that the Messiah fulfilled these prophecies, that he of his death, life, and resurrection, that he's coming back. And, you know, I don't know what else to say. It breaks my heart that people don't read the Bible, and when we tell them the simplest things, they don't even know it's in the Bible.
And another thing that people don't like, it seems like, in the church is they don't want to feel uncomfortable, you know, feel convicted. All those things that sound negative to them is, you know, uncomfortable. And then right. they might not even come back because it makes them feel convicted. The word is not supposed to make you feel comfortable. It's supposed to make you have knowledge of the Lord, and so that you do.
Amen.
We could pick so many subjects. I mean, I could pick a subject just like at random right now. Let's talk about clean and unclean food. Are you supposed to eat squirrels and snakes and stuff?
No.
I mean,
it's in the word.
Isn't that in the word?
Of course it is.
I mean, he's supposed to eat swine and you know, anything else that's a bottom feeder.
No.
I mean,
and
that's because
reason.
People
yeah.
don't read the Bible.
These animals were made to clean up the earth.
Again,
not to eat.
I was going to say, again, here are thoughts here that they're being taught they can eat anything now. Like, for, I don't know when the year began when you could start eating anything, but for some reason, what God said from the very beginning is being retracted now, and now you can have anything. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, you know, what they say is when Apostle Paul says you can eat anything, he's talking about meaning anything that's construed as food. He never said you can eat things that have never been construed as that's not food. The other thing, unclean animals are not food.
If I said to you, Anne, you can eat anything, would you eat a bat?
No.
Why?
Because
that sounds very gross.
Because it's not considered food, right?
In God's mind, that's the same as a catfish
or a
piece of pork.
Would you eat a vulture? They clean up the earth, too.
Absolutely not.
I mean, it's gross to think people eat, like, you know, rodents and stuff. No wonder why they got cancers and they got bad hearts and they got everything else that's going on with them.
And pork. Think of how many people down south here eat pork.
Well, no wonder why. I mean, if people would just read the Bible, this is not our opinion. I mean, think about it. Things that have never been thought of as food, people now are making them food. They made them their brothers and sisters. They made them their relatives. I mean, you know, don't get me started on that.
Well,
I mean, you know.
There's some other serious topics, too. You know, it also said he gave us the seed, you know, and the seed and the fruit. And look at apricots, the seed of apricots. Look at grape seed is one of the best antioxidant there is. But what did they take out of the grapes? The seeds. They're seedless, exactly. So all of those things are happening, too, besides the meats. All the fruits and vegetables are being changed. And so they're not as good for you anymore either, as God made them.
Right. You know, sometimes I wonder, our broadcast here on Sunday, you know, we haven't heard any response. We got some response the first two times that we were on, but after that we haven't heard from anyone. And I tell people all the time, call us, 615-591-9820. 615-591-9820 if you'd like to ask any questions. Or go on my website, oneinmessiah.net. Email me. My email is right there. That's oneinmessiah.net. oneinmessiah.net. Get on the website. Email us. I mean, if you have any questions or you don't understand what we're talking about, I'd love to hear from you.
Another thing we mentioned today was that that atonement was never for presumptuous or on purpose sins, willingly sinning. It was always for ignorant sinning, when you made a mistake, like you do now today. And it was interesting, the kids seemed to fully understand that you're not supposed to sin knowingly, on purpose.
I mean, you're not supposed to imagine.
But you tell an adult that, and boy, they'll be at your throat because
right.
they do it all the time, you know, and think nothing of it.
You know, I guess we could all see, the three of us here, you know, we could see that how God doesn't have a place in most people's lives. The Word doesn't have a place in most people's lives. Who's thinking about God every day? You're supposed to be thinking about God every day.
Amen.
You know, some people, they don't like the idea about when you wake up in the morning, when you go to sleep, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, you're supposed to be teaching your children. A lot of people hate telling their children. Their children run the show. Your children are not supposed to be running the show. You are, as the adults. And you're supposed to be fearing the Lord and keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. But again, You'd only know that if you studied the Bible, right?
Amen.
That's right.
I mean, you know, some people say, oh, I read, what, two verses this week?
I have a question for, I mean, I'm thinking that if I was in like a huge church, which I know that, you know, a lot of times we end up going to a huge church and there's functions and so on. And I wonder, what do they think it means when it says few there be that, few there, yeah, that find it, few mm-hmm. there be, and they're so huge and so on. It makes me wonder, I mean, the thoughts, certain thoughts throughout the scriptures, how they see it.
Another verse they probably don't read in Exodus, it says, you're not supposed to follow a multitude to do evil.
Yeah.
You know, just because everybody else is doing one thing and thinking others and, you know, sinning on purpose and stuff like that, and they all tell each other it's okay because they're all in one mind, which isn't of God's mind. It's a little scary, you know, and we're telling them something different. You can't sin on purpose.
That's right.
And don't follow that multitude to do evil. Come out from among them.
Amen.
You know what's really a shame? You know, I could ask a simple question like, what is love? And, of course, people will not give me the Bible answer.
They'll say hugs and kisses, right?
Right. Well, what I do is I go to the Bible and I say, well, what is love? And then I see 2 John chapter 1, verse 6. The disciple John explains what love is. This is love, he says, that we walk after his commandments.
And didn't Jesus, Yeshua, say to us all, if you love me, keep my commandments.
I mean, all the answers are in the Bible. But then again, that takes effort. It takes initiative to go pick up that Bible and make sure it's the right one, the King James Version, and read it.
John also says who a liar is and who is the Antichrist.
I know.
He brings out truths that should really...
Who is a liar, Anne?
A liar is someone who says they keep the commandments and don't.
That's right.
If you say you know him and you don't keep his commandments, you're a liar. You can't possibly know the right God. You must know some other God.
But if you...
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's true. It would make you a liar.
So that means what you're saying, if you asked any church person that question, let's say John, not you, because the people get mad at you. Let's say John the disciple asked people if they know the Lord. They're all going to say what?
Oh, yes.
Then he's going to say, well, do you keep his commandments?
9.
And then he's going to say, you're a liar.
Which one, they'll say?
See, then John would be in trouble because he'd say, you're a liar and the truth is not in you.
It's pretty
because you're not even keeping God's 10 commandments. I mean, you don't even know about his feast days. You don't know about his calendar. You don't know about clean and unclean. And there's a million other things.
All about Jesus.
Yes.
It's all about Jesus.
It's all about the Lord. You know, I see that we just don't... I wish one day people would hear us, they'd get behind us with some finances. We would love to have our own building. We'd love to have our own school. We could teach people the Bible the correct way. Right from the actual the Bible, from the Jewish eyes, the Hebrew way of looking at it. And forget about this Gentile mentality of throwing away 77% of the Bible and living in just the epistles. That's why they live in the epistles, and they don't even know where they came from.
That's not what Jesus did.
And they don't understand them because they come from the Torah and the writings and the Psalms, so they can't piece it together. It doesn't work.
It's such a horrible thing. I mean, there's so many questions to ask. You know, I see a lot of people today in the church I was at. I just long for people that have that look. They look like I know they would serve the Lord if they just had parents that would make a stand. I know they would be keeping the commandments. So if you'd like to come and visit us at One of Messiah Congregation, we are at the New Hope Community Church every Saturday at 12 o'clock. That's 605 Wilson Pike, Brentwood, Tennessee. That's 605 Wilson Pike, Brentwood, Tennessee, every Saturday, which is the Sabbath, the fourth commandment. You are personally invited to come and visit us. I've already given you our phone number, our web address. I mean, write us. You can even drop us a line at P.O. Box 254, Franklin, Tennessee, 37065. That's 254 Franklin, Tennessee, 37065. We're One of Messiah Congregation. And we want to be one in Christ. We want to be one in Messiah. That's who Messiah is, Christ. Some people don't even know that. I mean, any last words? We got a few seconds left.
I just want people to really think about things, even logically, you know. I mean, if you think that you can sin on purpose and ask for forgiveness, just think about that logically. How would you like your kids to do that? Because they're really not sorry if you're sinning on purpose. Think about your church doctrine. Is it even logical?
Well, you know, I say praise the Lord from One of Messiah Congregation. Please give us a call, write us a letter, get on the website. We thank God we could be here this half hour. Just go so fast. You know, any last words? We have a couple last words. I mean, a couple last seconds here. Is there anything on your mind you'd like to say to this listening vicinity?
I just want to say shalom, and I pray everyone, I challenge everyone to get in the Word and really read for yourself.
Because the Word is Jesus, right?
Amen.
Yeshua.
And the Word is Spirit, and the Word is life.
Amen.
We say God bless you, and shalom.
Shalom.